Welcome to Smart Parents, Successful Students podcast. I'm your host, Helen Panos. I run a tutoring company for K through 12 students who need help with reading, math, writing, study skills, ACT, SAT, prep, and more. My tutors work both virtually and in person. We specialize in really getting to know your kids and helping them thrive. I was a teacher and leader in a Georgia school system for 25 years. I saw what worked and what didn't. And there are definitely some gaps that teachers can't touch, which is why our tutors are so important. Teachers can only do so much. I'm here to bridge that gap between parents and teachers, to help your kids become successful in school and beyond. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Smart Parents, Successful Students podcast. I'm your host, Helen Panos, and I am back again this week with another guest for you guys. I won't let you hang, you know, another week and not know who the guest is. So her name is Tanya Wallum. Welcome to the show, Tanya.
Thank you. I'm going to correct you on that. It's actually Tanya
Wallum. I said it wrong. Is it Wallum?
No, Wallum is right. The first name is Tonya.
Tonya.
Yes. Oh, yes.
That's why it's spelled that way.
That's right.
I guess I should have asked.
we've met before, but I usually say something ahead of time.
Yeah. Well, that's all right. So there you go. So Tonya, that's beautiful, actually. It's different.
Thank you.
So I know you are a podcast host of your own podcast, of course, Water Prairie Chronicles, and yep. A creator of that. And you support parents of children with disabilities and special needs. And through your experience of raising your own children, you've learned how to advocate for individuals with disabilities and different learning needs. This is very important. In addition to that, you enjoy a posting cooking and household tip videos on YouTube. Oh, we'll have to hear about this. Solving puzzles, playing games, and spending time with family. Awesome. I like your hobbies.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey to where you started and what brought you to here. I know you've talked about your children here a little bit. So
first of all, the Water Prairie Chronicles, it started because of mine and my husband's experiences raising our own children. So both my kids are in college right now, Emily and Christopher. They're making us proud, staying true to following all those things that we taught them through the years. But when they were younger, it was kind of hard. With Emily, she was born with a visual impairment. We didn't know for about a year and a half what the cause was, but we learned pretty early that the world of physical disability can be a little confusing. And so kind of struggled from 8 months pretty much on trying to find what are the questions we need to ask? Where do we find the answers to that? And then my son came along with some invisible disabilities. So he has dysgraphia, ADHD, and narcolepsy. And so those were different types of challenges. Both kids had learning impacted by that. It did the world of IEPs for 20 years, pretty much. They're in college now using disability services and taking on what they've learned. But what the podcast came from, all the stress and the problem solving that we had to go through all those years trying to figure out what's next. And my background is in education, and I still was confused. I've helped write IEPs for schools and sat at the table, even with my own kids, never really knew what questions to ask or where to go for. To do with Water Prairie is to provide some of those answers for other parents that are coming up with younger students. And so what I found through all of that, trying to figure out who am I now, my kids are kind of out surviving and finding their way. What can I do with what I've learned? And what I've come to the realization is that most conversations that I have are encouraging other parents. So becoming a disability advocate and trying to find ways to help parents learn that there is hope, there is something out there. And a lot of our kids that are coming through the system now just need a little bit of guidance to kind of help get them on the track of where they need to be. And which is why I've enjoyed talking to you before, even because we're trying to advocate for these kids, but also to try to help equip them so they can become individual successful adults one day.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm actually going to be speaking about that this week. And I know excellent. Heather Wright and I did, we were on your podcast too. We did a recording for that. And yeah, I know she does the IEP stuff. So yeah, I love having people that I can refer others to. And, you know, it is about knowing all the resources and being able to get it, because I'm saying America is such a big country full of resources. It's just people. I feel like we need to have one huge database or something where parents know they can go there and they can look things up.
Right.
Like they do handymen. Right.
I actually have been talking to a couple people that are trying to put one together. So I'm hoping we'll be able to that soon. I'm not part of it, but just hearing what they're doing is fantastic.
Oh my gosh.
I will say, you and Heather, when you talked about the difference between 504 plans and IEPs, that's actually out now. So people were able to hear it. Yeah. It's fantastic information that both of you provided.
Oh, great. That's awesome. Gosh, I gotta get a link from you.
Yep. It's on my list of things to do today.
Yay. I can't wait to see it. So let's start off with asking, what role can technology play in helping neurodiverse students become more organized?
So first of all, I know a lot of your parents know what we're talking about when we say neurodiverse students, but just to kind of clarify for those who may not be aware of it, we're thinking about students who have been diagnosed with autism, ADHD, dyslexia, dyspraxia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia, all those dys that you come through there.
Right.
Right. Yeah, pretty much. And it's basically, it's just, there's a natural variation in the way that the human brain works. And sometimes we have students who come in that are approaching a little bit differently and they need some extra help. And so technology can really play a big part in helping them, because it can provide a way to kind of customize their learning a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like we can personalize it. If someone has ADHD, they might be struggling with maintaining focus, but we can personalize it a little bit to help them with that focus. Someone with dyslexia may have trouble reading and dysgraphia with writing, but we can find tools that can help personalize that for them specifically. And a lot of things that are out there already have built-in accessibility features, like devices and software might have screen readers or text-to-speech or magnifiers in there that can help. One of the big things that I think about when I think about technology with our neurodiverse students is trying to organize themselves. And so task and time management. And I'd like to get into this a little bit deeper, but just to kind of touch on it now, the tools can kind of help them kind of schedule themselves and to start getting everything organized. Up that structure of accountability doesn't necessarily kick in on them. We have other pieces that you may not think about when you think of technology, but like visual supports. You've got calendars, interactive calendars, to-do lists, things like that, that could be used to help different students, and even communication and social organizational skills. So I know we're going to be talking more, but just kind of give you an overview of what's there. And all of these pieces together can help our students get organized. And parents, I know, and the reason about this topic is, I think one of the biggest struggles that I think our parents have with students is that homework time. And, they've been at school all day long, they're coming home, and now everything's maybe they were like my son and their backpack explodes when they walk in the door. And so trying to figure out how to get them organized and keep them focused, a big stress within a family. So I think some of these things that technology can provide for us can kind of help calm that down a little bit and give us a game plan as parents that we can help our kids with.
I agree. Gosh. I mean, we should be so thankful that we have all this technology, actually, because what were we doing before?
Trust me, my mom was sitting with me after school every day and trying to help read through with me everything that I didn't hear in school when I should have been learning it.
Right, exactly.
A special message from Dynamis Learning Academy. Have you noticed that your children have possibly been struggling with writing? They may be anywhere from kindergarten to eighth grade, and you have been working with them time after time to try to get them to add things to improve their writing skills. Well, parents, it's really not something that you should struggle with. Please reach out to a tutor to help them because they are experienced in helping with certain strategies that children need in order to love and see writing as a valuable tool for them in the future. Reach out to Dynamis Learn Academy at 770-282-9931 so we can discuss a great writing tutor, which will then help your child improve their writing and have a love for it as well. Thank you.
How can technology then be tailored to the individual needs of the students? I know you've mentioned a few things, but.
Yeah, so we'll go a little bit deeper on some of those. So like I mentioned dyslexia and dysgraphia earlier. So you have speech to text and text to speech. So if your student's having trouble reading, you can have a text to speech where they can listen to the book and not just a book on tape, but there's like Learning Ally and things like that that are out there that can help make that easier for them to digest. If they have dysgraphia, so they're going to have a difficulty in writing. My son is in this category. Speech to text, dictating into your phone, dictating into a Dragon dictation software, or even just using what's built into your laptop. Most of them have some type of dictation. If you go into your settings, you can find that in the accessibility. It allows them to, in real time, as they're thinking, put their words up there, and then they can go back and learn how to break it up and edit it. But if you wait for them to have to write because of a writing disability, they're never going to get what they want to say down because they're going to forget everything and just trying to form the letters and the words and the paragraphs. And so so that's one piece. You have, we talked about the schedules earlier. We have students who, especially some of our younger students, they would do better with a picture-based task list. So so there are some apps that are out there that can kind of help you put that together so that they can see visually what's happening. Some time management and task management. You may want to have like an auditory cue or something. I have a watch that I wear when I'm at work. I can go into a black hole of time blindness. It's a real thing. ADHD is a thing for moms too. wearing this watch, I can set my alarm so that I know what has to happen when, and you don't know what's there. You may be right beside me, but I feel the buzz from it on my wrist. So just having the haptics turned on, even on your phone in your pocket, sometimes can be enough of a signal there to kind of keep you going. And I never really looked into that except my son with narcolepsy. We were looking for ways to wake him up. And and there are wristbands you can wear that'll kind of get into that. So yeah, those tools can be there. A lot of us may have seen AAC devices. If you're not familiar with that is, parents, it's an augmentative or alternative communication system. And our non-speakers are going to use these. Sometimes it is going to be our autistic children may not. They can use symbols or pictures or text to speech to be able to communicate with us. That's technology. So helping them with that communication. We have other tools that can, especially as you look at our high school students and as they're going into college, especially those that may have ADHD trying to get themselves organized, it's hard sometimes to break down a large amount of text into a smaller amount. So there are tools that are out there that can help kind of streamline that into manageable portions to help break it down beyond just a paper graphic organizer, but to kind of break it down that way. I had a woman on the podcast last year who is using augmented reality, and in her building for school, she's put an actual room in there, and they can bring videos in and help their autistic students learn to work on social interactions and different learning environments by putting different videos on the walls so that they're in a safe place to learn some of those skills that they need. You've got note-taking apps. There's so many things that are out there that can kind of help tailor it individually to that child. And, you know, like I said, these are neurodiverse students. Diverse is a big word there because they're all coming in with different strengths and different areas where they need extra help. But using this can help boost their self-confidence and help them achieve that overall academic success, not only in the classroom, but as they're moving into adulthood and, you know, can go on and be independent, successful adults.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And really, those strategies can be used by anyone, right? You don't even have to be neurodiverse. It might just make you do your work faster.
Exactly. I mean, it's, and you're going to find that, you know, these tools may seem simple for a student who's struggling. It's huge for any student out there. They don't have to be neurodiverse. You're right. So any student would benefit from having these, but the students that I'm thinking about specifically, it could make or break whether they can find success because it helps kind of bring it in where things are more accessible for them and they're not so with what they're looking at.
Right. Wow. Yeah. I mean, when you think about just all these tools that are out there, there is so much stuff and schools are not necessarily going to point it out to you parents about what you could go use. A lot of times people, I don't know, teachers just don't want to say things due to, I hate to say, liability and things like that. So you're better off trying to find people and information from like podcasts, like all of us and other people that have these resources that can help you. I just was speaking to a parent earlier today before this interview about that. She goes, "Oh my gosh, it sounds like you could do just about anything. Can I hire you to do this, that?" I'm like, "Yeah." So, and I don't think her child's neurodiverse or anything. She's just like thinking about private school versus public and, you know, counselors are not really giving information out until later. She wants to know stuff well in advance. I'm like, "Well, you're being smart, but we do academic planning. That's called academic planning."
Exactly. Yeah.
So what about, what are some examples of tools that can help students with the task and time management skills? Anything else that you wanted to add?
Okay. So we mentioned how they could use it. And this is the part that I get more geeky about because I like to actually get into the tools. So I'm going to give you a list of some specific apps and programs that you and your listeners can look for. So for creating schedules, almost all of us have either Google or Apple Calendar. Google is my favorite because I've used it more. On the website or on your phone, you can set this up. Your student can have a different for each class that they're in. They can set another color for their afternoon activities if they're in sports, if they're in piano lessons, things like that. And it can help them break it down into chunks that they can see and they know when it's happening. Parents, as you're helping your students start with this, break down, like look at their syllabus, look at whatever the teacher's given them. If they have a term paper coming up, it shouldn't be just one chunk. It should be 5 to 10 different chunks that they're going to find success breaking it down. And show them by example, and you'll see as they're getting older, they'll start to learn how to break those chunks down to know that it doesn't have to all be done today to turn in tomorrow, because it's 5 to 10 pages that they're writing. So you know, have their research, have their draft, all those things broken down. You have, and we talked about earlier about my watch. You've got the visual, auditory, or haptic cues that you can put in with reminders. So set alarms for when meetings are coming up, when assignments are due, things like that, so that they're hearing that, maybe a pop-up notification or something. There are a couple of task management apps. The three top ones that I would say is Todoist, and it's spelled T-O-D-O-I-S-T. Another one is Microsoft To-Do, three separate words. And then the third one is Trello, T-R-E-L-L-O. All three of those work, and they allow you to set task attachments or subtask and notes in there. These would work really well for a high school age student, maybe middle school, but definitely by high school. They should be able to learn to use this so that as they move into college, they have these tools already in place, ready to go. And we're talking about whether they have an IEP or not. These would be great pieces to put in to bring that team in together to work with them on how to use them and to start using them with their teachers too. And I would start in middle school, starting to learn how to use them.
Oh yeah.
You have the visual schedules. When I talked about having the visual objects for a student to be able to see, First Then Visual Schedule is a great site to go to. And ChoiceWorks is the other one. ChoiceWorks is all one word. And you can customize that visual schedule with those. They can see their daily routine. They can see their weekly routine, whatever it is they're working on. If it's a big project, you could even break that into several different visual. Done the first part, the second part, the third part now, just so that they feel like they're making progress and they're starting to learn how to get through those schedules that way. If you're like I am and you like gaming, I like competition. I like rewards. I like to level up. There's an app called Habitica. I don't know how you say it for sure, but it's H-A-B-I-T-I-C-A. And this one allows students to put in, you're putting in your task And as they accomplish those tasks, they can earn rewards. They can level up in the game. They're engaging in a community of other users that are also working toward these types of goals. Mm. And so it's just a fun and motivating way to kind of work on that. That's the only one that I found that actually works that way, but I know there are others out there. So if this isn't for you, then just plug in a gamified task and you should be able to find that on Google. Then you have time tracking apps. We talked about time blindness. Toggle, T-O-G-G-L is the app that I'm looking at for that. And that can help you understand how you're spending time, where you're wasting time, because as you're putting in the data, you're going to start seeing where that time chunk is going to. And it slowly helps you kind of learn how to be more efficient in the use of your day. Then we have Simply, Siri, Google, Amazon, Alexa. Teach your child how to say, you know, set a timer for 10 minutes for math. And they know whenever that chime goes off, they can stop their math and they can go do something else and come back and try another 10 minutes at it. So those are easy ones that we can do. I was about to say Siri, but I knew my phone would turn on. So I figured I would say Alexa on that one. So that's a good chunk list there. There's a lot more out there. And I'd be glad to talk to people about trying to find more, but all these little pieces, you're going to find the one that works best for what you need. And like we said, this is individual. I'm not going to use half of these, but my kids are going to use the other half of them because the way their brain works is different from mine. But I think those are probably enough to get you started with getting some ideas of how you could use that technology to specifically work with a child.
Well, that's awesome. Wow. What a bunch of great apps. Thank you for sharing those. I even wrote some of them down.
Oh, good.
So I know you're on Instagram. Are you on Facebook? Tell the viewers where they can find you.
Instagram, I'm on as water.prairie. Everywhere else, it's just water prairie. We weren't able to get it without the dot for that one.
Okay.
But if you go to linktree.com/waterprairie, I have all of my links there. So you'll be able to find it there. The website is waterprairie.com. So just everything's all together with those.
Okay. And that's where they can find your podcast?
They can find the podcast. If they go to waterprairie.com, I have a page for each episode, including the transcript. But there's also a link on each page for each episode to the audio and to the video. So you pretty much have it all together on the website.
Oh, cool. Awesome. And I know you have a free download, right?
Yes.
To offer.
Yeah. So I, last summer I put together a book called Empowering Neurodiverse Learners, A Guide to Assistive Technology and Learning Tools. Even if you don't have a neurodiverse learner, you may find some technology and learning tools in there that you may want to try out. And that's a free download. It's at buymeacoffee.com/waterprairie. And if you look on the extras, Buy Me a Coffee is like a tip jar. Just ignore all that part. If you go to the extras, this is a $0 download. And you'll have the option at that point if you want to sign up for the newsletter, but it's nothing that you have to. The download is just automatic for you.
Cool. Well, thank you for that. Y'all got to make sure you guys get that nice freebie there, because that sounds like it's terrific. A lot of great information. That brings us to the end of our podcast. I appreciate you joining us today and, sharing all this great knowledge. Again, resources, because otherwise parents are going to spend a lot of hours trying to figure out which apps there are that are out there. There's so many. Which one's right. The best for their child? And you've already narrowed it down for them.
We're at least getting you started with some here.
Yeah, right. Try these and see if these work. They probably, one of these have got to work.
Well, and in the ebook, there are some others that I didn't mention on this, like the Learning Alley that I mentioned earlier. There's several of that type of resource in that as well. So check the resources in the back of that. Even if you don't read the rest of it, you may find something there to try out.
Well, that's awesome. Well, thank you very much, Tonya, for joining us and sharing all this information with parents, because again, I think we're much stronger together than separately.
Yes.
And you got to speak with one another and other parents and share ideas and information. That's how we get more knowledgeable in this world.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you again. And everyone, I hope you guys have a great rest of your week and day. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to Smart Parents, Successful Students podcast. I hope this episode has been insightful and inspirational. Wherever you're listening, be sure to go ahead and subscribe to get the next episodes and to join our email list by going to www.dynamislearningacademy.com/podcast/. Also, it would warm my heart if you reviewed the podcast on Spotify and shared it with your community. And remember, I believe that every child would benefit from getting extra support outside the classroom, whether they are struggling or are part of an advanced or gifted program, because teachers just can't do it all. Please connect with me about our K-12 tutoring, SAT or ACT prep classes, and writing workshops to help your child excel in school. I can be reached through email at helen@dynamislearningacademy.com or by phone at 770-282-9931. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.